Comfort is your enemy. Destroy your comfort zone. Written by Kelvin W. Nathan. Published by Audiobooks Office. Introduction. The lie of comfort and the price of playing safe. Comfort is seductive. It whispers promises of peace, safety, and ease. It tells you that you've earned the right to rest, that life is best when it's predictable, that you can avoid pain if you just stay where you are. But comfort is not your friend. It is your most dangerous enemy disguised as luxury. It's a velvet prison, a slow suffocation wrapped in warmth. The more you give in to it, the less of yourself you become. Comfort lulls your potential to sleep. It dulls your hunger, softens your edge, and convinces you that mediocrity is acceptable. And by the time you realize it, the walls of your comfort zone have turned into the boundaries of your life. Human beings were not designed for stillness. We were built for expansion, for motion, for challenge. Our minds crave progress as our lungs crave air. Every great achievement in history, every invention, every discovery, every act of greatness was born from discomfort. Someone dared to step into the unknown, to break what was familiar, to confront fear head-on. Discomfort is not punishment. It is the birthplace of transformation. Without it, growth dies. Without growth, abundance becomes impossible. Most people spend their entire lives chasing comfort. The safe job, the predictable routine, the familiar surroundings. They trade their potential for convenience and call it stability. But stability without progress is stagnation, and stagnation is death in slow motion. The truth is, the comfort zone isn't where you rest. It's where you rot. The mind decays when it's not challenged, just like a muscle weakens when it's not used. Every time you choose comfort over growth, you reinforce your limitations. Every time you say not yet to your dreams, you hand over another piece of your power to fear. Abundance doesn't exist inside your comfort zone. It begins where fear tries to stop you. The abundance mindset isn't about pretending everything is easy. It's about trusting that even when it's hard, you are capable of more. It's the understanding that growth is not supposed to feel safe. It's supposed to feel uncertain, demanding, and uncomfortable. That discomfort is the signal that you're expanding. The greatest mistake is to interpret that feeling as a reason to stop, when it is in fact the invitation to rise. The destruction of your comfort zone is not an act of violence, it is an act of liberation. It's tearing down the walls that keep you small and walking boldly into the unknown, knowing that the person you're becoming is worth the discomfort it takes to get there. This journey will ask for your courage, your patience, and your persistence. It will challenge every excuse you've ever used to stay the same. But what lies beyond is not just success, it's freedom. The freedom to live fully, to think abundantly, to become unstoppable. This book is not a map to ease, it's a guide to expansion. Each chapter will dismantle the illusions that hold you back and rewire the beliefs that keep you comfortable. You'll learn to turn fear into focus, failure into fuel, and discomfort into your greatest teacher. The goal is not to eliminate fear, it's to master it. The goal is not to feel ready, it's to act anyway. Because the truth is simple. Comfort is the enemy of greatness, and growth begins the moment comfort ends. To read the complete book, visit my website and get the Complete Comfort is Your Enemy ebook, now available on the website at audiobooksoffice.com. Chapter 1: The Illusion of Safety. The greatest trap ever created for the human spirit is the illusion of safety. It's the idea that if we can just maintain control, keep things predictable, stable, and familiar, then we'll be protected from failure, rejection, or pain. It's the belief that safety equals peace. But in truth, what most people call safety is merely a carefully constructed cage. It feels warm, it feels reassuring, and it feels responsible. But it slowly drains the fire out of your soul. Safety is not freedom. It's the slow death of potential disguised as peace of mind. The comfort zone pretends to protect you, but it's quietly stealing your life while you stand still, convincing yourself that stillness is security. We build our entire lives around avoiding risk. We seek jobs that guarantee paychecks, relationships that guarantee validation, and routines that guarantee predictability. We convince ourselves that if we minimize uncertainty, we'll minimize suffering. But what we actually minimize is our capacity for growth. The safest path often looks like the most logical one, but logic without courage leads to mediocrity. The illusion of safety tricks us into thinking we're in control, when in reality we've surrendered control to fear. Fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of what might happen if we dare to step outside the known. The irony is that the more we cling to safety, the less safe we truly are, because the world keeps moving, evolving, and expanding while we remain frozen. And what doesn't move dies. Comfort and safety are cousins. They both come from the same instinct, self-preservation. But the same instinct that once kept our ancestors alive now keeps us small. It's easy to confuse safety with success because the world often rewards compliance and calls it wisdom. You'll hear people say, "Don't take unnecessary risks," or "be realistic." Yet behind every one of those statements lies fear wearing the mask of logic. Realism becomes the language of the scared. It's how the world justifies its unwillingness to grow. The problem is that safety never stays still. What feels safe today can become dangerous tomorrow. The secure job can disappear overnight. The comfortable life can fall apart in a moment. The relationships built on convenience can collapse when challenge arrives. The illusion of safety cannot protect you from the chaos of life. It only blinds you to the truth that uncertainty is inevitable. If you observe those who thrive, entrepreneurs, athletes, creators, visionaries, you'll notice something they all share. None of them found their greatness inside comfort. They made peace with uncertainty. They understood that safety is not the absence of danger, it's the presence of courage. They trained themselves to see discomfort not as a threat, but as a test of readiness. Their confidence didn't come from guarantees, but from self-trust. They stopped waiting for the world to promise them stability and started building resilience instead. Safety is a mirage, but strength is real. The person who trusts their ability to adapt, who embraces risk with preparation and persistence, is far safer than the one hiding behind a false sense of control. There's a quiet tragedy in how we shrink ourselves for comfort. We tell ourselves stories to make it acceptable. We say, "I'm just being practical," or "I'm happy where I am," when deep down, we know we've settled. We silence the voice that calls for more, because more feels uncertain, and uncertainty feels unsafe. But that voice never truly dies. It just grows quieter, buried beneath routine and responsibility. One day you wake up realizing that the comfort you fought to preserve has become the prison you built with your own hands. You've traded your potential for predictability, and the cruelest part is that you thought you were doing the right thing. The illusion of safety thrives on your hesitation. Every time you wait, it grows stronger. Every time you second-guess your ability, it tightens its grip. You cannot negotiate with it because safety doesn't want to protect you. It wants to own you. The only way to destroy the illusion is to move. Take action in the direction of uncertainty. Step into what scares you most, and you will watch the walls of false security crumble before you. True safety is not found in comfort, but in the confidence that you can face discomfort and survive it. The moment you stop running from uncertainty, you reclaim your power. And once you've tasted that freedom, the illusion of safety will never fool you again. Chapter 2: The Birth of Fear. Fear does not begin as an enemy. It begins as a protector. It is an ancient instinct woven into the fabric of survival, a signal from the mind warning you of danger before you even recognize it. But the same mechanism that once saved our ancestors from predators now keeps us trapped within invisible walls. Fear evolved to protect the body, yet over time it learned to guard the ego. It no longer warns you of tigers in the jungle. It warns you of judgment, embarrassment, and failure. It no longer saves your life, it limits it. Every time you feel the urge to act, create, speak, or change, fear whispers a thousand reasons to wait. And most people listen, not realizing that fear's voice is not truth, it's memory. It speaks from what you've known, not from what you're capable of. We are born fearless. Watch a child take its first steps, wobbling, falling, and getting back up without hesitation. There is no concept of embarrassment or limitation, only curiosity and the instinct to try again. Fear is learned. It seeps into us through the words of cautious parents, critical teachers, and a society obsessed with safety. Don't climb too high, you'll fall. Don't speak too loud, you'll offend. Don't dream too big, you'll be disappointed. Slowly, we are trained to equate discomfort with danger, and every risk becomes a threat. By the time we reach adulthood, fear has rewritten the map of possibility, drawing bold red lines around anything uncertain. It convinces us that to stay alive, we must stay small. But the irony is this: what we fear most is rarely the thing itself. It's the feeling that comes with it. We fear rejection not because it can harm us, but because it reminds us of being unworthy. We fear failure not because it destroys us, but because it exposes our illusion of control. We fear change not because it is bad, but because it forces us to confront who we truly are without the crutches of routine and comfort. Fear is not about reality, it's about identity. It protects the version of you that exists today and fights against the version of you trying to emerge. Every time you aim higher, fear sounds the alarm. It's your mind's desperate attempt to keep you the same. The more you evolve, the louder fear screams, not because you're going the wrong way, but because you're approaching transformation. The abundance mindset sees fear differently. It does not try to eliminate it because elimination is impossible. Instead, it redefines the relationship. Fear becomes a compass, not a cage. When you feel fear rise, it's usually pointing toward the next level of your growth. The task is not to silence fear, but to interpret it correctly. Ask yourself, what part of me is fear trying to protect? Often it's the part that doubts it can handle what's coming. But abundance is built on the understanding that you can handle it, that you are equipped to adapt, to learn, to rise. Fear's energy is raw and powerful. When harnessed, it becomes fuel. When avoided, it becomes poison. Every person you admire, every visionary who changed the world, carried fear with them. The difference is that they moved anyway. They didn't wait for the fear to fade. They acted while it trembled in their chest. That is the quiet courage that separates the ordinary from the extraordinary. Courage is not the absence of fear, it is mastery over its influence. When you act despite it, you teach your mind that fear is survivable. With each act of defiance, you retrain the brain, shrinking the territory of fear and expanding the territory of freedom. Eventually, what once terrified you becomes familiar. The unknown becomes your new normal. This is how evolution happens, not in leaps, but in steps taken through trembling hands and racing hearts. To destroy your comfort zone, you must first understand that fear is not a wall, but a mirror. It reflects your potential back at you, showing exactly where growth lives. If you run from it, you stay trapped in the cycle of hesitation and regret. If you face it, you begin to rewrite the story that's been told to you since childhood, that comfort is safe and fear is danger. The truth is the opposite. Comfort is decay, and fear is the signal that you are alive, moving, expanding. So the next time fear appears, do not shrink. Do not reason with it. Acknowledge it. Thank it for trying to protect you and then walk through it. Because the only way to make peace with fear is to prove to yourself that you no longer need its protection. And once you do, freedom begins. Not from the absence of fear, but from the mastery of it. Chapter 3: The Comfort Trap. Comfort is the slowest form of self-destruction because it does not announce its presence with alarms or pain. It comes gently, disguised as balance, peace, or satisfaction. It feels deserved after long effort, and it whispers that you have arrived, that you can finally stop reaching. This is the most dangerous moment in a person's life, the moment they stop chasing growth because they mistake comfort for success. Comfort is not happiness. It is numbness dressed in calm. It is a state where the mind convinces the heart that mediocrity is enough, that the hunger for more is greed, and that risk is foolish. Yet beneath that quiet surface, the spirit begins to starve. What dies first is not ambition, but imagination. You no longer see what could be because what is feels good enough. And in that false sense of enough, dreams dissolve. The comfort trap begins small. It starts when you take a short break from your goals and decide to rest for a little while. Then that little while becomes habit. The discipline that once defined you begins to fade. The hunger that once kept you awake at night turns into excuses that let you sleep in. You rationalize it, tell yourself you've earned the right to relax, that other people have less, so you should be grateful. Gratitude is noble, but when it becomes a reason to stop growing, it becomes another mask for fear. Comfort grows in that space where gratitude loses its edge and contentment becomes complacency. You start to defend your comfort. You convince yourself that you're being realistic, that you're protecting your peace, that striving is too stressful. But peace without progress is not peace, it's paralysis. And the most insidious part of the comfort trap is how it blinds you to decline. You don't feel yourself slipping because nothing feels wrong. You're still breathing, earning, existing. But you're no longer expanding. You stop learning new skills because what you know already works. You stop taking risks because what you have feels sufficient. You stop seeking challenges because challenge brings uncertainty. And uncertainty threatens the illusion of control that comfort provides. You're not failing, but you're not evolving either. And in a world that constantly moves forward, standing still is just another way of falling behind. Time rewards movement, not maintenance. What once was comfort becomes constraint, and by the time you notice, your edge is gone. Comfort is the enemy of ambition because it kills urgency. When you have enough to survive, the fire to excel fades. You lose the hunger that once pushed you beyond limits. The mind that once saw possibilities begins to settle for probabilities. The comfort trap convinces you that safety is success, that avoiding pain is wisdom, that small progress is sufficient. But deep down, your soul knows the difference between peace and stagnation. You can feel the quiet ache that comfort leaves behind, the unspoken truth that you were made for more. That ache is your conscience calling you back to movement. Most people silence it with distractions. They bury it beneath entertainment, routine, or material rewards. But the ache never leaves. It only grows louder in silence. That is the cost of comfort, the erosion of passion, the slow decay of drive, the dull pain of untapped potential. To escape the comfort trap, you must first recognize it for what it is. A seductive form of fear. Comfort does not keep you safe, it keeps you unchanged. The only way out is through deliberate discomfort. You have to seek challenge on purpose. Push yourself when no one asks you to. Set goals that scare you, that feel beyond your reach, because only in pursuit of what stretches you will you rediscover the energy you've lost. The moment you reintroduce pressure, life returns to your spirit. Growth requires friction. Muscles grow through tension, and so does the mind. If you wish to awaken your power, you must destroy the illusion that peace and progress can coexist without sacrifice. Every person who has achieved greatness has done so by rejecting comfort. They understand that there is no finish line in personal evolution. Comfort offers a false ending, a place to stop and celebrate. But life has no final chapter while you are still breathing. The comfort trap ends when you decide that growth itself is your peace, that becoming more is the only lasting form of rest. When you redefine peace as progress, the trap loses its power. You no longer seek comfort, you seek alignment. You stop waiting for the world to make things easier and start making yourself stronger. The comfort trap feeds on those who wait. But once you move, once you choose effort over ease, you shatter its hold. Because in truth, comfort never cared about you. It only wanted your potential. And the moment you decide that comfort is no longer your goal, you begin to reclaim everything it took from you. Chapter 4. Pain is a compass. Pain has always been misunderstood. Most people see it as a warning, a signal to stop, retreat, or protect themselves. They see pain as punishment, as something to be avoided at all costs. Yet the truth is that pain is not your enemy, it is your guide. It is the most honest feedback life gives you, pointing directly at the areas where you need to grow, heal, or evolve. Pain is not random, it is precise. It arrives when you have outgrown something, when you are holding on to what no longer serves you, or when you are standing still while your potential is begging you to move. Every form of growth demands a price, and that price is pain. To reject pain is to reject transformation. The abundance mindset understands this simple but powerful truth. Pain does not block your path, it reveals it. Physical pain teaches us through the body. When you train your muscles, the ache is not injury, it is adaptation. It is your body learning to handle more, to become stronger, to operate at a higher capacity. The same principle applies to every other aspect of your life. Emotional and mental pain are not signs of weakness, they are evidence that you are being stretched beyond what is familiar. When your heart breaks, when your plans collapse, when life refuses to cooperate, that discomfort is not the universe punishing you, it is preparing you. Growth demands friction, and friction hurts. But that pain carries information. It tells you what you have been avoiding, what needs attention, what requires courage. If you learn to listen, pain becomes your greatest teacher. Society has conditioned us to anesthetize ourselves against pain. We distract, medicate, and avoid. We scroll through screens, chase temporary pleasure, and numb our discomfort instead of confronting it. In doing so, we silence the very compass meant to guide us. Pain is the signal that something needs to change, but when you drown it out with comfort, you miss the message. You stay trapped in patterns that drain your energy and repeat experiences that break your spirit. You cannot heal what you refuse to feel. Avoidance does not protect you, it prolongs your suffering. Pain ignored becomes pain amplified. The abundance mindset demands that you face it, understand it, and use it. Because pain faced with awareness becomes purpose, there is a deep wisdom in discomfort. When life hurts, it's not random chaos, it's communication. It's your inner self telling you that you are living below your potential or clinging to something that's holding you back. If you feel restless in a job, unfulfilled in a relationship, uninspired in your routine, that discomfort is your soul's alarm clock. It's trying to wake you up before complacency turns into regret. The people who grow the most are not those who suffer less. They are those who learn to interpret pain correctly. They see every challenge as a lesson, and every struggle as a mirror reflecting their strength and their limits. They understand that pain is a temporary cost for permanent transformation. The reason most people never reach their potential is not because they lack opportunity, but because they lack tolerance for pain. They quit when things get hard, not realizing that the hardest moments are the ones that shape them. Pain is the crucible of greatness. It refines your character, exposes your weaknesses, and forces you to rebuild stronger. Without pain, you would never discover your capacity for resilience. Without loss, you would never understand gratitude. Without struggle, you would never appreciate victory. Everything you admire in others, their discipline, courage, wisdom, was built in the fires of discomfort. They are not special, they are simply willing to stay in the heat longer than most. The key is not to chase pain, but to stop running from it. When you feel resistance, do not retreat, lean in. Ask what it's trying to teach you. Every discomfort holds a message. The pain of failure teaches humility, The pain of rejection teaches self-worth. The pain of effort teaches endurance. The more you engage with these lessons, the more powerful you become. Growth and pain are twins. You cannot separate them without killing both. Once you understand this, pain loses its power to scare you. It becomes your compass, not your captor. There will be times when pain feels unbearable, when it tests every part of who you are. Those moments will try to convince you to stop, to retreat back into comfort. But if you can endure, if you can sit with that pain and keep moving, you will find clarity on the other side. Because pain purifies. It strips away illusions, excuses, and weakness. What remains is real. It's you, stronger, wiser, truer. Every breakthrough begins as pain. Every reinvention starts with something breaking apart. So, the next time you feel pain, do not curse it, follow it. It is the map that leads to your next level, the signal that you are still alive, still growing, still becoming. The only people who never feel pain are those who have stopped evolving. And that is the most painful existence of all. Chapter 5. Rewiring the Mind for Expansion. Everything begins and ends in the mind. Every limitation, every breakthrough, every victory, and every defeat is born from the beliefs you hold and the stories you repeat. The way you think shapes the way you live, and most people live inside a prison they built in their own minds. The bars are invisible, made of fear, doubt, and scarcity. They convince themselves that life happens to them instead of through them, that opportunities are limited, that success belongs to the lucky or the chosen few. This is the mindset that keeps billions trapped in mediocrity. The difference between the person who thrives and the one who merely survives is not intelligence, luck, or circumstance. It is mental wiring. The abundant mind expands. The limited mind contracts. If you wish to destroy your comfort zone and unlock your full potential, you must rewire your mind to think in terms of growth, not fear. The scarcity mindset is born from survival. It tells you there is not enough. Time, money, love, success, or opportunity. It keeps you in competition with everyone else, comparing your progress, fearing loss, hoarding comfort. This way of thinking may have helped our ancestors endure harsh realities, but in the modern world it turns into a mental disease that kills creativity, generosity, and ambition. Scarcity says, I must protect what I have because there won't be more. Abundance says, I can create more whenever I choose. Scarcity operates from fear. Abundance operates from faith. Faith not in luck or fate, but in your ability to adapt, learn, and evolve. To rewire your mind for expansion, you must stop thinking like a prisoner of circumstance and start thinking like a creator of possibilities. Most people don't realize that their thoughts are habits. The mind repeats the same patterns until you consciously interrupt them. If you constantly tell yourself that things never work out, your mind will filter reality to confirm that belief. It will ignore opportunities, reject risks, and interpret every obstacle as proof that you were right. This is the law of focus. You attract what you believe because you act according to it. When you begin to replace those thoughts with ideas of growth and possibility, your perception shifts. You start to see options instead of dead ends, challenges instead of threats. Your external world reflects your internal conditioning. To change your life, you must change your mental programming. That process is uncomfortable because your old beliefs will resist. They will fight for their survival, just as the comfort zone does. But with awareness and repetition, your brain learns to prefer expansion over fear. Rewiring your mind is not about repeating empty affirmations or pretending everything is perfect. It's about discipline, mental and emotional discipline. You must catch yourself in moments of self-doubt and redirect your focus. When you hear yourself say, I can't, replace it with how can I? That single shift from limitation to curiosity, because it looks for solutions where others see problem. The more you train your brain to seek growth, the more your reality expands. This is not magic. It's biology. The brain's neural pathways strengthen with repetition. The more you feed it thoughts of possibility, gratitude, and resilience, the more it defaults to those states under pressure. You are not trapped by your old wiring unless you choose to stop rewiring. Scarcity thrives on fear of loss, while abundance thrives on love of growth. A scarce mind asks, "What if I fail?" An abundant mind asks, "What if I learn?" Scarcity clings to what is. Abundance reaches for what could be. When you begin to think abundantly, you stop protecting your comfort and start expanding your capacity. You begin to understand that success is not a resource to compete for, but an energy to align with. The more you give, the more you grow. The more you risk, the more you gain. The more you face discomfort, the stronger your confidence becomes. This is the paradox of abundance. You have to let go of safety to experience true security, because security doesn't come from holding on. It comes from knowing you can always rebuild. The process of mental rewiring demands consistency. It is not a one-time revelation, but a daily practice. You must feed your mind the thoughts that align with who you want to become, not who you have been. That means surrounding yourself with people who challenge you, consuming ideas that stretch you, and exposing yourself to environments that demand growth. The mind grows through exposure, just as the body grows through exercise. The more you step into situations that test your thinking, the faster your perspective expands. When you master this practice, comfort loses its hold, because your satisfaction no longer depends on ease. It depends on evolution. You stop seeking stability and start seeking strength. The abundant mind is not delusional, it is courageous. It acknowledges fear but moves forward anyway. It sees setbacks as data, not defeat. It welcomes change because change is evidence of life. The rewired mind understands that expansion is endless, that growth has no ceiling. Once you begin to think this way, everything changes. How you handle pain, how you see opportunity, how you define success. You realize that abundance is not something you find, but something you become. And once your mind expands to that truth, it can never shrink back to the limits of your old beliefs. That is the moment when you stop living from scarcity and start living from power. The moment your mind finally becomes your greatest weapon against comfort. Chapter 6. The Death of Average. Average is the silent killer of human potential. It is not failure that destroys people, it is comfort in mediocrity. Failure at least teaches you something, gives you scars that tell stories of effort, of risk, of courage. But average erases those stories entirely. It's a soft, invisible death, where you don't fall, but you also never rise. You simply exist. Average tells you that being good enough is enough, that striving beyond the ordinary is unnecessary, that playing it safe is wisdom. Yet every part of your soul knows that isn't true. Deep down, you feel it, a quiet dissatisfaction that whispers, there's more to you than what you've become. That voice is your higher self calling for your attention, begging you to stop settling. Because the truth is this, you cannot live an extraordinary life while tolerating an average mindset. The average mindset is born from fear disguised as balance. People tell themselves they just want a simple life, but simplicity often becomes an excuse to avoid pressure. They lower their expectations not because they lack ambition, but because they fear disappointment. They aim smaller to make sure they never miss. They stay in the same jobs, the same habits, the same relationships because those things feel predictable. Average promises peace, but it delivers stagnation. You cannot grow in an environment that demands nothing from you. When you refuse to push past what's comfortable, you unconsciously choose decay. Growth and mediocrity cannot coexist. The moment you stop stretching, your potential begins to die quietly, long before your body ever does. The tragedy of average is that it doesn't look tragic. It looks normal. Society praises it. People will tell you that wanting more makes you greedy, that ambition is selfish, that humility means settling. But humility isn't about thinking less of yourself. It's about thinking truthfully of yourself. And the truth is that you were not designed to live halfway. You were built for creation, for mastery, for impact. The world around you is shaped by people who refuse to be average, who risked ridicule, failure, and uncertainty for something greater than comfort. Every innovation, every movement, every change began with someone who decided that ordinary was no longer acceptable. Yet most people ignore that lesson because standing out makes them uncomfortable. They shrink their dreams to fit the expectations of others, never realizing that their obedience to comfort is what kills their potential. Average offers safety, but it also demands submission. To be average, you must silence your own voice. You must suppress your curiosity, restrain your hunger, and convince yourself that your purpose is smaller than it really is. You start caring more about being accepted than being authentic. You trade originality for approval. You start speaking like everyone else, thinking like everyone else, living like everyone else. You become another version of the same story, predictable, replaceable, forgotten. The world doesn't need more of the same. It needs individuals bold enough to live fully, to challenge the ordinary, to embrace the discomfort that growth requires. Those who step beyond average don't do it because it's easy. They do it because staying the same became unbearable. To kill average, you must first confront it within yourself. It's not enough to dislike mediocrity, you must make it intolerable. You must refuse to be at peace with half effort and half belief. Every day you wake up, you must ask yourself whether you're moving closer to your potential or drifting into comfort. The line between the two is thin but powerful. Most people drift because drifting feels effortless, but greatness demands intention. You must choose discomfort on purpose. You must be willing to outwork, outlearn, and outlast the part of you that craves ease. The death of average begins when you stop negotiating with your excuses. The moment you decide that comfort will no longer be your standard, everything changes. Destroying average is not about arrogance or comparison. It's not about proving you're better than others. It's about honoring what you've been given. Every person is born with unique gifts, talents, and ideas, yet most take them to the grave untouched. Not because they lacked opportunity, but because they lacked urgency. They waited for permission to be great. But greatness doesn't wait. It demands. It demands sacrifice, focus, and the willingness to be misunderstood. When you commit to living beyond average, people will question you, doubt you, and sometimes resent you. That is the price of distinction. But the cost of staying average is far higher. It's the quiet regret of knowing you could have been more. Average dies the moment you decide to live deliberately. When you start doing the work others avoid, when you face the fears others deny, when you hold yourself to a higher standard than comfort requires, average no longer fits you. It feels too small, too dull, too lifeless. You begin to crave expansion, not approval. You begin to measure your success not by ease, but by evolution. That is where true abundance begins, not in possessions, but in potential. Fully expressed. When you reach that level of awareness, the death of average becomes a rebirth. You stop living as the person the world expects and start becoming the person you were created to be. And in that moment, you discover what freedom truly feels like, the freedom to grow without limit, to live without apology, and to never again settle for less than everything you are capable of. Chapter 7. The discipline of discomfort. Discomfort is not something you simply endure. It is something you must learn to master. Most people spend their entire lives running from it, but those who rise, those who achieve the impossible, develop a relationship with discomfort so deep that it becomes their ally. They learn to seek it, to respect it, and to find meaning in it. This is the discipline of discomfort, the art of embracing what others avoid. Not because it is pleasant, but because it is necessary. Every great transformation begins with this principle. The mind that can stay calm in discomfort is the mind that cannot be defeated. Discipline is not about punishment or rigidity. It is about training your body and your mind to operate beyond emotion. It is teaching yourself to act based on purpose, not mood. When you master this, you gain the power to create momentum in any circumstance, no matter how uncomfortable it becomes. The reason most people fail to break free from their comfort zones is not a lack of ambition, but a lack of discipline. They want growth, but they want it without friction. They crave transformation, but reject the process that creates it. They confuse motivation with consistency. Motivation fades, discipline remains. Discipline is what you rely on when inspiration disappears. It is the voice that says, "Do it anyway." Discomfort becomes the training ground for this mindset. Every time you resist the urge to retreat when things feel hard, you build mental armor. You condition yourself to act even when it hurts, and that conditioning eventually becomes instinct. You stop running from struggle and start recognizing it as a signal of progress. The more often you choose discipline over ease, the stronger your tolerance for discomfort becomes. The mind is adaptable. It will accept whatever you repeatedly expose it to. When you avoid challenge, your tolerance for it weakens. When you face it daily, it strengthens. This is why those who constantly test themselves grow faster than those who wait for ideal conditions. Discomfort, when faced regularly, becomes familiar. What once terrified you begins to feel normal. What once exhausted you begins to energize you. You start to see struggle not as an interruption to life, but as the essence of it. Life without challenge becomes lifeless. The discipline of discomfort is about rewiring your response to pain. It teaches you to stay present when your instincts scream to escape, because in that moment of resistance, your real power is forged. Every time you stay with the discomfort instead of retreating, you sharpen your focus, strengthen your resilience, and deepen your belief in yourself. Discipline is not natural. It must be trained like a muscle. You build it through repetition, through small acts of self-command that compound over time. Getting up early when your body begs for sleep. Finishing a task when boredom sets in. Saying no to instant pleasure in pursuit of lasting fulfillment. These moments of resistance are your workouts. They may feel insignificant, but they shape your character. The mind learns by pattern, and each act of discipline teaches it that discomfort is survivable, even beneficial. Eventually, what once required force becomes automatic. You stop negotiating with your emotions. You no longer wait to feel ready, inspired, or confident. You simply move. This is the freedom discipline creates. It removes the power that fear and hesitation hold over you. It allows you to act in alignment with your purpose, regardless of how uncomfortable the path feels. People often mistake discipline for restriction, but in truth, it is liberation. It frees you from the control of your impulses. It separates you from the masses who let emotions dictate their actions. The undisciplined person lives reactively, tossed between fleeting desires and external pressures. The disciplined person lives intentionally, guided by principle and vision. The difference between the two is discomfort. One avoids it, the other embraces it. Those who master discomfort move forward when everyone else stops. They don't seek an easy life, they seek a strong one. And strength only grows in resistance. Every great life is built on a foundation of habits that were once uncomfortable. Every lasting success story is written in the ink of daily discipline. There will always be moments when your mind tries to seduce you back into ease. It will tell you to rest when you haven't earned it, to give up when results take too long, to compromise because no one is watching. That is the voice of comfort, trying to reclaim control. The discipline of discomfort silences it through action. You act first, think later. You show up even when no one notices. You stay focused even when no one claps. Discipline thrives in silence, away from validation. The true test of your commitment is not how hard you work when you're inspired, but how consistent you remain when no one cares. The disciplined person knows that progress is invisible long before it becomes undeniable. They are patient in the discomfort because they understand what it is building within them, a version of themselves that nothing can break. To live with the discipline of discomfort is to live in truth. It is to stop expecting life to be easy and instead expect yourself to be strong. It is to stop chasing comfort and start cultivating endurance. When you reach this level of mastery, discomfort loses its power to intimidate you. It becomes a companion, a constant reminder that you are alive and evolving. Those who reject discomfort remain fragile, forever dependent on favorable conditions. Those who embrace it become unshakable, capable of facing any storm. The discipline of discomfort is not about pain for pain's sake. It is about purpose. It is the process through which ordinary people become extraordinary. And once you learn to crave challenge more than comfort, you will realize that discipline was never about control. It was about becoming the kind of person who no longer fears the struggle, because the struggle itself has become the source of your strength. Chapter 9. Destroying the Familiar. The greatest obstacle to transformation is not fear of the unknown, but attachment to the familiar. What holds most people back from growth is not the danger ahead, but the comfort behind. The familiar is seductive because it offers predictability, and predictability feels like safety. You know how to function within it, you understand its rhythms, and even when it's unfulfilling, it's reliable. The familiar is the environment where the mind feels in control, even if the soul feels imprisoned. That is why people stay in situations that slowly kill their spirit, dead-end jobs, toxic relationships, lifeless routines, because the discomfort of change seems greater than the discomfort of stagnation. Yet this illusion is what traps millions in mediocrity. The familiar is the breeding ground of limitation, and if you wish to evolve, you must destroy it before it destroys you. The familiar is not just external, it lives within you. It's your habits, your self-talk, your patterns of reaction. It's the predictable way you retreat from challenge, the stories you tell yourself about what is possible, the excuses you've repeated so often they sound like truth. Familiarity gives the mind comfort because it reduces uncertainty, but that same comfort makes growth impossible. You cannot step into your next level while clinging to the patterns of your current one. The process of transformation demands a shedding, a letting go of everything that keeps you tied to who you used to be. Destroying the familiar means confronting the parts of yourself that have kept you small, the routines that numb you, and the people who enable your comfort. It requires ruthless honesty and the courage to break what no longer serves you. Destruction sounds harsh, but in reality it is an act of creation. Before a new identity can emerge, the old one must dissolve. This is why so many people never evolve. They fear the temporary chaos that comes with change. They want rebirth without death, transformation without transition. But you cannot build a new structure on a crumbling foundation. The habits that once helped you survive cannot help you ascend. You have to dismantle them piece by piece, confronting the resistance they bring. The familiar will fight for its life. It will whisper reminders of comfort, temptations of ease, and echoes of fear. It will tell you that you're losing stability, that you're making a mistake, that you're risking too much. But that voice is not truth. It's nostalgia. It's the echo of your old self trying to survive extinction. The destruction of the familiar is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing discipline. Every new level of growth comes with its own layer of comfort, and each layer must be burned away. What was once a victory can easily become a cage if you stop expanding. You must learn to walk away from comfort, even when it looks like success. The familiar can disguise itself as achievement, a stable career, financial security, even public admiration. But if you're not growing, it's just another version of stagnation wearing a more expensive mask. True progress requires constant disruption. It's choosing to outgrow environments, mindsets, and even versions of yourself that no longer align with your potential. The world belongs to those who can detach from yesterday long enough to claim tomorrow. Destroying the familiar demands solitude. It's not something you can outsource or explain to everyone around you. People who remain attached to their own comfort will not understand your need for disruption. They'll call you reckless, ungrateful, or lost because your courage reminds them of their own complacency. You cannot take everyone with you. Evolution is a lonely process at times, but solitude is where identity rebuilds itself. When you strip away the noise of the familiar, you begin to hear the truth of who you are. You rediscover your hunger, your curiosity, your authenticity. Growth doesn't just expand you, it purifies you. It burns away what's false, leaving only what's real. That's why destruction is necessary. It's not chaos, it's clarity. The familiar will always try to seduce you back. It will offer comfort, nostalgia, and a sense of belonging. But the cost is freedom. You cannot step into abundance while clutching scarcity. You cannot experience transformation while defending the identity that fears it. The person you are becoming cannot coexist with the habits of the person you were. To destroy the familiar is to declare that who you are meant to be matters more than what you have always been. It's the conscious decision to stop surviving and start creating, to stop replaying the past and start writing the future. Destruction is not loss. It is liberation. It is the clearing of space for new strength, new purpose, and new potential to rise. The familiar feels safe, but it is the slowest form of self-betrayal. Every time you choose comfort over evolution, you trade expansion for existence. Life is movement, and movement requires disruption. To destroy the familiar is to reclaim your life from the invisible chains of predictability. It is to walk willingly into uncertainty, not because you enjoy chaos, but because you understand that only through destruction can true creation begin. When you make peace with that truth, you stop fearing change and start commanding it. You stop clinging to what was and begin shaping what will be. The familiar dies not when it's taken from you, but when you decide it no longer defines you. And in that decision, the person you were gives way to the person you were always meant to become. Chapter 10. The Power of Chaos. Chaos is not the enemy most people believe it to be. It is the force that reshapes, realigns, and reveals. It is the breaking of what is no longer working, the interruption of patterns that have outlived their usefulness. Chaos is nature's way of ensuring evolution continues. It dismantles what is rigid so that life can flow again. Yet because it brings uncertainty and loss of control, people resist it with everything they have. They label it bad luck, crisis, or misfortune, when in truth, it is the most direct teacher of growth you will ever encounter. The moments that throw your plans into disarray, that disrupt your comfort and shatter your sense of security, are the same moments that awaken the power you never knew you possessed. Chaos is not destruction without meaning. It is the invitation to rebuild stronger, wiser, and freer. The human mind craves order because order gives it the illusion of control. You like to know what's coming next, to predict outcomes, to manage risks, but life refuses to stay neatly arranged. The more tightly you grip order, the more violently chaos must intervene to teach you that certainty is an illusion. The people who suffer most during turbulent times are not those who experience chaos, but those who resist it. The more you fight the storm, the more it destroys you. The ones who survive and even thrive in chaos are those who learn to surrender to its current, to adapt instead of control, to find meaning instead of panic. When you stop seeing chaos as punishment and start seeing it as purification, you begin to understand its power. It strips away pretense and exposes what is essential. It breaks your dependency on stability and forces you to rely on strength. Every major breakthrough in life begins with chaos. When the old system collapses, when comfort evaporates, when your plans fall apart, that is when transformation begins. Chaos destroys the illusion of safety and forces you to confront reality. It reveals who you are when nothing is certain, when nothing is guaranteed. That revelation is not meant to shame you, but to empower you. You see your weaknesses, but you also discover your capacity. You realize that beneath the noise of comfort lies an unshakable resilience. Chaos strips you of control so that you can learn true power. The power to adapt, to trust yourself, to stand tall even when everything around you falls. Most people pray for peace while secretly begging life not to change. But peace without change is stagnation. Growth without chaos is fantasy. To evolve, you must stop asking for calm seas and start learning to master the wave. The abundance mindset thrives in chaos because it sees opportunity where others see threat. When the world falls apart, the abundant thinker asks, "What is this trying to teach me?" They do not cling to what was. They look forward to what can be built from the wreckage. Chaos clears the field for creation. It eliminates what was unaligned, forcing you to rebuild with intention. When things collapse, you are given a gift, the chance to start again without illusion. You no longer have to pretend that what was working still works. You no longer have to protect the structures that confined you. Chaos breaks what you were never brave enough to dismantle. It is the universe's way of forcing evolution on those too comfortable to pursue it willingly. But to harness the power of chaos, you must resist the urge to panic. Panic comes from attachment, from your desire to preserve control over something that no longer belongs to you. You cannot learn from chaos while trying to restore the old order. The lesson lies in surrender, not resistance. Surrender does not mean giving up. It means accepting the truth of what is and deciding how to move within it. When everything feels uncertain, focus on what remains within your control, your choices, your focus, your attitude. Chaos may strip you of possessions, routines, or predictability, but it cannot take your will unless you surrender it. You may not be able to calm the storm, but you can command your response to it. That mastery of inner stillness amid outer turmoil is what defines powerful people. The truth is, chaos is a constant companion of those who live fully. The more you grow, the more uncertainty you invite. Expansion demands risk, and risk invites disorder. To build something great, you must be willing to let things fall apart. You must be willing to destroy your old plans to make space for greater ones. Chaos will visit you again and again, testing whether you have truly learned its lessons. Each time, you will either collapse or expand. Those who fear chaos spend their lives trying to prevent it and end up trapped in monotony. Those who embrace it build lives that keep evolving because they understand that order is temporary, but growth is eternal. Chaos is not here to ruin you, it is here to remind you. It reminds you that control is an illusion, that security is fragile, that every comfort can vanish in a breath. But in that reminder lies liberation. Once you stop expecting stability, you begin to live with true power. You become fluid, adaptable, and resilient. You stop fighting the inevitable and start using it. The storms that used to scare you become fuel for transformation. When you learn to dance within chaos instead of hiding from it, you discover a deeper peace, not the peace of stillness, but the peace of strength. That is the peace of knowing that no matter how many times life collapses, you can rebuild stronger and more aligned than before. That is the true power of chaos. It doesn't destroy you, it reveals who you were meant to become all along. Chapter 11. Identity under fire. There comes a moment in every person's journey when life forces them to face themselves, stripped of the titles, possessions, and roles they have used to define who they are. That moment is the fire of identity, the crucible that burns away everything false until only truth remains. Most people fear this stage because it feels like death, the death of the familiar self, the end of who they thought they were. But transformation requires that death. You cannot become the next version of yourself while clinging to the old one. The self you built inside your comfort zone cannot survive in your next level of growth. It was constructed for stability, not expansion. The habits, beliefs, and self-concepts that once protected you now imprison you. When identity burns, what is really being destroyed is the illusion of who you needed to be to feel safe. The identity you hold is the foundation of every decision you make. It determines what you tolerate, what you chase, what you fear, and what you avoid. If you see yourself as ordinary, you will live accordingly. If you see yourself as fragile, you will never seek challenge. Your identity shapes the boundaries of your reality, and most people never challenge it. They confuse consistency with authenticity. They think being true to themselves means staying the same. But authenticity is not about clinging to who you've been, it's about expressing who you're becoming. Growth demands that you outgrow your own reflection. The person you are now is not your final form. Life will test your identity through chaos, failure, and loss, not to break you, but to force you to evolve. Every hardship strips away a layer of who you thought you were until only your essence remains, stronger, simpler, more honest. When you face identity under fire, it feels like you are unraveling. The things that once defined you, your achievements, your relationships, your status, begin to lose meaning. What used to feel solid becomes uncertain. This is where most people retreat. They scramble to rebuild the old identity, desperate to restore order. They reattach themselves to old roles, repeat old stories, and surround themselves with familiar validation. They cannot handle the void that comes when the old self dissolves. But that void is sacred. It is the womb of reinvention. If you can endure the emptiness without rushing to fill it, you create space for your true self to emerge. The pain you feel during this process is not destruction, it is purification. The fire is removing everything that is no longer you. Transformation feels like loss before it feels like liberation. You will lose parts of yourself that once felt essential, the approval of others, the need for control, the attachment to identity markers like success, failure, beauty, or intellect. You will lose comfort in who you used to be, but each loss is a shedding, a release of weight you no longer need. To grow into who you are meant to be, you must let die the version of yourself built on fear and expectation. The self that sought validation, the self that lived by others' rules, the self that confused acceptance with love, all of it must burn. This death is not a tragedy. It is transformation in its purest form. You are not losing yourself. You are uncovering yourself. The fire only destroys what was never meant to last. Every major rebirth in history, personal, cultural, or spiritual, has followed a period of identity destruction. You cannot build a new paradigm without dismantling the old one. The same law applies to individuals. You cannot carry your old self into a new life. At some point, you must look in the mirror and admit that who you have been is no longer enough. This realization is uncomfortable, but it is the doorway to power. The moment you stop defending your old identity, you begin to expand. You stop saying, "This is just who I am," and start asking, "Who could I become?" That question is the spark of transformation. It replaces resistance with curiosity, fear with courage. The person who asks it is already changing. Identity under fire is where your authenticity is forged. It's where masks melt and truth emerges. You will learn that strength is not in holding on, but in letting go. You will learn that your worth is not tied to what you do, but to who you are when everything is stripped away. You will learn that becoming is a lifelong process, not a single victory. The more you grow, the more your identity will be tested. Each time, the fire will burn away another layer, and each time you will rise clearer. More aligned, more powerful. The pain never fully disappears, but your relationship to it changes. You stop fearing the fire because you recognize it as part of your evolution. You realize that identity is not a prison, but a practice, a continual shedding and reshaping guided by truth. When you stop clinging to who you were, life stops feeling like a battle. You no longer resist change, you invite it. You understand that loss is not the end, but a passage. The person you were built your foundation, but the person you are becoming will build your future. To reach that future, you must walk willingly into the fire, trusting that what burns away was never truly yours. On the other side of that fire is freedom, the freedom to live without pretending, to love without fear, to create without limit. That is the reward for enduring the death of the old self. You awaken as something real, unshakable, and infinite. The fire that once terrified you becomes your ally, and through it, you learn the ultimate truth of transformation. Every time you let a false identity die, you are reborn closer to the person you were always meant to be. Chapter 12. The Pain of Growth. Growth is often romanticized as progress, as upward movement, as the visible transformation of effort into achievement. But the truth is, growth rarely feels beautiful while it's happening. It feels like confusion, exhaustion, frustration, and loss. It feels like being stretched beyond what you thought you could handle. Growth hurts because it dismantles everything you've known and replaces it with something uncertain. It demands that you outgrow environments, habits, and even relationships that once defined you. The pain of growth is not a punishment. It is the cost of expansion. Every new level of life asks for a part of the old you in exchange. You cannot evolve without leaving something behind. And that leaving, whether it's comfort, identity, or familiarity, always hurts. The pain of growth is the ache of transformation, the tension between who you were and who you're becoming. The discomfort of growth begins the moment you stop pretending that the old version of yourself still fits. When you decide to demand more from life, life begins to demand more from you. Growth strips away illusions. It exposes weaknesses, insecurities, and limitations you didn't know you had. It confronts you with truth, the truth that what got you here will not get you there, the truth that the habits that once protected you now restrict you, the truth that comfort is an anchor disguised as rest. Most people quit at this stage. They confuse the pain of growth with the pain of failure. They assume something is wrong because it no longer feels easy. But pain is not the signal to stop. It is the proof that you're moving. Growth hurts because resistance is being broken. The mind resists change just as muscles resist tension. The ache is the evidence of expansion. There will be seasons in your life when growth isolates you. The people who once understood you may not understand your new direction. Some will distance themselves because your evolution reminds them of their own stagnation. Others will try to pull you back to who you used to be. They will say you've changed, as if that's a betrayal, not a victory. In truth, you're supposed to change. Growth requires separation from those who keep you small. This loneliness is one of the hardest parts of the process because it exposes how much of your old self depended on validation. The pain of growth often comes from realizing that not everyone is meant to come with you. You begin to see that love and loyalty cannot be excuses for self-betrayal. You can still care for others without allowing them to confine you. The more you grow, the more you learn that peace sometimes means walking alone for a while. Growth also demands that you face yourself honestly. It shines light into the corners of your mind that you've avoided, the fears you've buried, the traumas you've ignored, the lies you've told yourself to stay comfortable. You cannot heal what you refuse to face. Growth exposes those wounds not to shame you, but to free you. Healing hurts before it helps because it disrupts the patterns that kept you numb. You will want to turn back to distraction, to routine, to comfort. But every time you resist that impulse, you take another step toward freedom. Pain is the price of self-awareness, and awareness is the foundation of transformation. The person who avoids discomfort never meets their true self. The one who endures it learns to see pain not as suffering, but as a teacher. The pain of growth is different from the pain of stagnation. Stagnation feels heavy, dull, and hopeless. It's the slow erosion of spirit that comes from living beneath your potential. Growth pain, on the other hand, feels sharp, alive, full of meaning. It's the tension of progress, the soreness of a muscle that's growing stronger, the fatigue of a mind that's expanding its limits. The difference between the two is direction. Stagnation pain keeps you stuck. Growth pain moves you forward. But the challenge is that both hurt in the moment and most people can't tell the difference. They run from pain altogether and end up choosing the wrong kind, the one that leads to regret. You must learn to distinguish them. to recognize when the pain you feel is the cost of evolution rather than the consequence of avoidance. Only then can you embrace it fully. You will never escape the pain of growth, but you can learn to use it. Each time you endure discomfort, your capacity expands. You discover new reserves of strength and patience. You learn to trust yourself more deeply because you've seen what you can survive. The pain that once frightened you becomes familiar, almost sacred. It becomes the rhythm of transformation, the pulse of life reminding you that you're still moving, still changing, still alive. Growth will never be painless, but the pain will always be worth it, because on the other side of it is clarity, confidence, and freedom. The pain of growth ends up being the pain of rebirth. You shed the skin of who you were to make room for who you're meant to be. It's messy, uncomfortable, and uncertain, but it's also miraculous. You begin to understand that pain is not a sign that something has gone wrong. It's a sign that something real is happening. You are breaking through the walls of your own limitations. You are becoming more than what you were taught to be. The pain of growth is not the end of your peace, it's the beginning of your power. When you can endure it, welcome it, and learn from it, you will never fear change again. You will know that pain is not your enemy. It's the compass that points you toward your highest potential. Chapter 13. The Warrior Mindset. There comes a point when comfort and survival are no longer enough, when the only way forward is through strength forged in adversity. This is where the warrior mindset is born, not from aggression or dominance, but from endurance, focus, and an unshakable will to keep moving despite pain. The warrior mindset is not about fighting others. It is about mastering yourself. It is about confronting fear, fatigue, and doubt with discipline and purpose. It is the ability to act when everything inside you wants to quit, to stand firm when uncertainty roars in your face, and to believe in your vision even when no one else does. Warriors are not fearless, they are simply unwilling to surrender to fear. They understand that courage is not the absence of fear, but the refusal to obey it. To build the warrior mindset, you must first learn to see struggle differently. Most people spend their lives avoiding difficulty, hoping to find peace by eliminating challenge, but real peace is born in the acceptance of challenge, not in its absence. When you accept that hardship is a natural part of growth, it stops feeling like an interruption and starts feeling like a teacher. Warriors understand this instinctively. They do not seek a life of ease because they know ease breeds weakness. They seek a life of purpose, and purpose always comes with resistance. They meet obstacles not with despair, but with determination. They understand that pain is not personal. It is universal, inevitable, and essential. Every obstacle is an opportunity to sharpen their edge. Every setback is preparation. The warrior mindset is built on consistency. It is not created in moments of inspiration, but in countless unseen hours of discipline. The true warrior does what must be done regardless of emotion. They wake up early when exhaustion tempts them to stay in bed. They stay focused when distraction calls their name. They move forward when fear tells them to hide. This is not because they enjoy suffering, but because they understand that self-mastery is the foundation of freedom. You cannot control the world, but you can control how you meet it. The warrior mindset is the commitment to meet every circumstance with strength, clarity, and purpose. It is the understanding that life does not get easier, you get stronger. Most people think the warrior is hard, unfeeling, or detached, but the truth is the opposite. The warrior feels deeply. They just refuse to be ruled by those feelings. They experience pain and move anyway. They know that emotions are visitors, not masters. This inner discipline allows them to operate when others freeze. The warrior mindset demands self-control, not suppression. It is the ability to acknowledge emotion without letting it dictate action. That kind of control is not cold, it is powerful. It allows you to stay calm in chaos, to think clearly under pressure, to remain centered when the world shakes. The warrior mindset turns turbulence into training. Every challenge becomes fuel for focus. Every loss becomes data. Every hardship becomes proof of endurance. The warrior's path is lonely because few are willing to live this way. Most people seek comfort in company, validation, or rest. The warrior finds comfort in growth, in testing limits, in the process of becoming stronger. The warrior's fulfillment comes not from victory itself, but from the discipline it takes to reach it. The journey is what forges the identity, not the destination. This mindset does not crave applause or recognition, it craves evolution. A warrior knows that mastery is internal. It's about who you become, not what you achieve. They are not motivated by competition with others, but by confrontation with themselves. Each day is a battle against weakness, against procrastination, against doubt, and each victory, no matter how small, builds the confidence to face bigger challenges. To develop the warrior mindset, you must stop waiting for life to get easier. You must stop hoping for circumstances to align. Strength is not built when things go well. It's built when nothing goes as planned, and you move forward anyway. Every moment of adversity is a chance to prove your resilience. Every failure is an opportunity to refine your strategy. The warrior understands that defeat is temporary, but surrender is permanent. You cannot lose if you refuse to stop trying. That is the code of the warrior. Endure, adapt, advance. Life will test you in ways you cannot predict, but those tests are not punishments, they are preparation. The more you face, the more you expand your capacity to face even greater challenges. At its core, the warrior mindset is about alignment with truth. It's the decision to live deliberately, to act with integrity, and to give everything you have every day, even when no one sees it. It's about knowing that pain and uncertainty are not signs that you are on the wrong path. They are signs that you are walking one worth taking. The warrior does not wait for the perfect moment. They create it through consistent effort. They do not wait for courage to appear. They generate it through action. And they do not seek external validation. They find satisfaction in knowing they gave their best in every circumstance. The world will always try to soften you, to lure you into comfort, to make you believe that peace means avoiding struggle. But the warrior knows better. They know that the only true peace comes from within, from knowing that you are capable of facing whatever comes. They know that growth demands discomfort, that resilience is born in chaos, and that greatness is reserved for those who refuse to retreat. The warrior mindset is not a gift, it is a choice. It is a daily decision to face life with courage, to act with purpose, and to rise again and again, no matter how many times you fall. When you live this way, fear loses its hold, weakness loses its voice, and comfort loses its appeal. You become unstoppable, not because life becomes easy, but because you become unbreakable. You've heard the first 13 chapters. You've felt the fire, the challenge, the truth. But the journey isn't over, it's only begun. The rest of the book goes deeper, sharper, and stronger. Don't stop at the edge of growth. Visit my website now and unlock the complete ebook version of Comfort is Your Enemy. Keep rising. Keep becoming. Read all the 30 chapters. Visit my website and get the complete Comfort is Your Enemy ebook, now available on the website at audiobooksoffice.com.